Chapter 5. The Old Ways. The Soul's Fuel. New Eyes. With that fierce breed of arrogance found only in the hearts of the truly ignorant, it was called the Last War. The Last War, the conflict to end all conflict.
I remember it, Corfearon murmured. I remember every day and night we fought, while around us Colchis burned.
6 years. Lorgar's smile was rueful, his eyes cast down to the marble floor of his meditation chamber. 6 long, long years of civil war, an entire world torn asunder in the name of faith. Corfearon licked his sharpened incisors. The chamber was lit only by candlelight, and the cloying reek of ashy incense was thick in the air.
But we won, he said.
Seated opposite the Primarch, Corfearon wore the grey robe of Colchis's ruling priest caste. Without his Terminator plate, he was, as Lorgar had always known him, an ageing man, despite physical enhancement surgery, skeletal of form, fierce of eye. Lorgar wore nothing but a loincloth of coarse weave, leaving his immense but androgynously slender torso bare. Ritual branding marks, shaped like Colchisian runes, bled freely down his back, while older burn scars had scabbed over with crusty seals. Fresh weals from the lash striped his shoulders, the overlapping wounds, forming a cobweb of self-flagellation. Erebus sat with his Primarch and Commander on the floor, wearing the black robe of the Legion's chaplains. It was difficult to breathe with Lorgar's blood in the air. Such a potent, salty scent was almost dizzying. Primarchs did not receive wounds in war. It was a genetic blasphemy for one to bleed.
Yes, Lorgar said, scratching the stubble marking his jawline. We won. We won, and we spread our faith across our homeworld.
He moistened his golden lips with a bitten tongue.
And look where we find ourselves in the wake of that triumph. A century later, we are the lords of nothing, kings of the only legion ever to fail my father.
You always taught us, sire.
Speak, Erebus.
You always taught us to speak the truth, even if our voices shake.
Lorgar raised his head, a smile creasing the corners of his split lips as he met the chaplain's solemn eyes.
And have we done that?
There was no hesitation.
The Emperor is a god, said Erebus. We've taken the truth to the stars and seeded it across the Imperium. We should feel no shame for how we acted. You should feel no shame for it, sire.
The Primarch wiped the back of his hand across his forehead, brushing aside a streak of ash to reveal the gold beneath. Since leaving Kur less than a week before, Lorgar smeared dust from Anarchia's surface over his features with each new day. His coal-ringed eyes were darkened further by exhaustion and narrowed by the burden of shame. But this single gesture was the closest either warrior had seen to their Primarch cleaning himself since his humiliation before the Emperor. It all began on Colchis, he said, and we have been in error since then. My visions of the Emperor's arrival, the battles of the last war, it all began with the belief that divinity deserved worship purely because it was divine.
He laughed without humour. Even now, I ache to think of the faith we destroyed to make room for our beliefs.
Sire, Erebus leaned closer, his eyes wrapped upon his Primarch's. We stand on the precipice of destruction. The Legion, its faith is shattered. The chaplains remain stoic, but they are beset by warriors who come to them with doubts. And with you lost to us, with no guiding light, those who carry the Crozius have no answers to give those in grey.
Lorgar blinked, flecks of ash from his eyelashes dusting down to his lap.
I have no answers to offer the chaplains, he said.
Perhaps that is so, allowed Erebus. But you are still too mired in regret. Draw inspiration from the past. Use it to shape the future. Do not let it strangle you with shame.
Lorgar snorted, though there was no malice in the sound.
You quote my own writings back to me, Erebus?
They hold true, said the chaplain.
You dwell on thoughts of Colchis.
Corfearon's eyes glinted with reflected candlelight. To Erebus, he looked desperate on some subtle, secret level. A kind of insatiable, unfeedable hunger brightened the elder's eyes, eating at him from within. Most undignified.
If there is something you wish to speak of, my son.
Corferon's thin hand fell upon Lorgar's golden, whip-scarred shoulder.
Then speak of it.
The Primarch looked to his oldest ally with a cadaverous stare that forever lingered on the man's face. Yet Lorgar saw beyond it, in a way few others ever could, seeing the kindness, the care, the paternal love for an aggrieved son. Lorgar smiled with genuine warmth for the first time in 3 days, and rested his tattooed arm over his foster father's weaker, too human fingers. Do you remember the Emperor's arrival? The exultation in our hearts that we were proved right? Do you recall the savage vindication after 6 years of righteous war? The older man nodded.
I do.
The young man with a golden skin drops to one knee, silver tears sparkling on his flawless features like droplets of sacred oil.
I knew you'd come.
He weeps the words.
I knew you'd come.
The god in gold offers his armored hand to the kneeling young man.
I am the Emperor.
He smiles, benevolence incarnate, glory radiating from him in a palpable aura that hurts the eyes of every onlooker. Thousands of people line the streets. Hundreds of priests, clad in the dove grey of the Covenant's ecclesiarchs, kneel with Lorgar before the coming of the God Emperor.
I know who you are,
the Golden Primarch says through his dignified tears.
I have dreamed of you for years, foreseeing this moment. Father, Emperor, my Lord, we are the Covenant of Colchis, and we have won this world through your worship for the glory of your name.
Lorgar turned to meet Corferon's eyes. That morning, as I knelt before the Emperor, with the homeworld's holy caste chanting, with the red rock domes of Varadash made amber by the rising dawn, did you see as I saw?
Corferon looked away. You will not like the answer, Lorgar.
I have liked nothing of late, yet I still wish to know.
He laughed suddenly, softly.
Speak the truth, even if your voice shakes.
I saw a god in golden armor,
Corferon said.
The very image of you, but aged in ways I couldn't grasp. I never saw the figure as a benevolent one. His psychic presence pained my eyes, and he smelled of bloodshed, domination, and the many worlds already burned to ash in his wake. Even then, I feared we'd waged 6 years of war in error, butchering a true faith to replace it with a false one. In his eyes, eyes so like yours, I saw the promise of avarice, the hunger of greed. Everyone else saw nothing but hope, even you. So I thought perhaps I had seen wrong. I trusted your heart, Lorgar, not my own.
Lorgar nodded, his contemplative eyes turning away again. Erebus listened in silence, for rare were the moments that any word-bearer received insight into the Primarch's life before the Legion.
Of all the Emperor's sons, Corferon said, you are the one that most resembles your father in face and form. But you could never commit acts of cruelty and destruction while wearing a smile. The others, your brothers, can do this. They take after the Emperor in that way where you do not.
Lorgar lowered his gaze. Even Magnus? He asked. A giant stands with the Emperor, a figure robed in the azure of off-world oceans. One eye stares down at the kneeling figure, the other eye is lost, a scarred crater marking its lack.
Greetings, Lorgar,
says the muscled giant. He is taller even than the god in gold, and his long hair is styled in a scarlet mane, like that of a Prideland lion.
I am Magnus, your brother. Even Magnus.
Corferon seemed reluctant to admit it. His features remain tense.
Though I respect him greatly, there is a deep cruelty born of impatience threaded through his core. I saw it in his face that day, and each meeting since.
Lorgar looked down at his hands, ash-stained with crescent moons of blood beneath the fingernails.
"We are all our father's sons," he said.
"You are all facets of the Emperor," Corfearan amended. "You are aspects pulled from a genetic primer. The lion is your father's rationality, his analytical skill, unburdened by conscience. Magnus is his psychic potential and eager mind, unrestrained by patience. Russ is his ferocity, untempered by reason. Even Horus."
"Go on," Lorgar said, looking up now. "What of Horus?"
"The Emperor's ambition, unshaped by humility. Think of all the worlds where our legion waged war alongside the Lunar Wolves. You've seen it as well as I have. Horus hides his arrogance, but it is there. A layer beneath his skin, a shroud around his soul. Pride beats through his body like blood."
"And Gilliman?"
Lorgar let his hands rest on his knees again. A smile inched across his features.
"Gilliman."
Corferon's narrow lips moulded into a grimace, opposing his Primarch's smirk.
"Gilliman is your father's echo, heart and soul. If all else went wrong, he would be heir to the Empire. Horus is the brightest star, and you carry your father's face, but Gilliman's heart and soul are cast in the Emperor's image."
Lorgar nodded, still smiling to see his advisor's bitterness.
"My Macragian brother is as easy to read as an open book," he said. "But what of me, Corferan?
Surely I bear more than my father's features. What aspect of the Imperial Avatar have I inherited?" "Sire," interrupted Erebus, "if I may."
Lorgar granted permission with a tilt of his head. Ever the statesman, Erebus needed no time to compose himself or his answer.
"You embody the Emperor's hope. You are his belief in a greater way of life and his desire to raise humanity to achieve its greatest potential. You devote yourself to these ends, forever selfless, utterly faithful, striving for the betterment of all."
Amusement gleamed in the Primarch's eyes, eyes so like the Emperor's own.
"Poetic but indulgent, Erebus. What of my failings? If I am not proud like Horus Lupercal, nor impatient like Magnus the Red, what will history say of Lorgar Aurelian?"
Erebus's solemn facade cracked. A moment of doubt flashed across his features, and he glanced at Corferon. The gesture drew a whispered chuckle from their Primarch.
"You are both conspirators," he laughed, the sound soft. "Do not fear my wrath. I am enjoying this game. It is enlightening. So enlighten me this last time."
"Sire,"
Corferan began, but Lorgar silenced him, reaching to touch his foster father's hand as it rested upon his shoulder.
"No, you know better than that, Cor. I am not sire, never to you."
"History will say that if the 17th Primarch had one weakness, it was his faith in others. His selfless devotion and unbreakable loyalty caused him grief beyond the capacity of a mortal heart to contain. He trusted too easily and too deeply."
Lorgar said nothing for several moments, neither agreeing nor disagreeing. His shoulders rose and fell with his quiet breaths, the whip welts inflamed and angry, burning with a faint sheen of sweat dusting his body. Fresher brand marks, burnt into the flesh of his back, were scabbing over now. At last he spoke, his eyes narrowed to slits.
"My father was wrong about me. I am not a general like my brothers, and I refuse that destiny. I will not blindly walk the same paths they already tread. I will never understand tactics and logistics with the effortless ease of Gilliman or the Lion. I will never possess the skill with a blade shown by Fulgrim or the Khan. Am I diminished because I recognize my faults? I do not believe so."
He looked down at his hands once more, fine-fingered, barely calloused, the hands of an artist or a poet. His mace, the black iron Crozius Arcanum, was as much a scepter of office as it was a weapon.
"Is that so wrong?"
he asked his closest advisers.
"Is it so wrong of me to walk the ways of a visionary, a seeker, rather than a simple soldier? What is within my father that renders him so thirsty for blood?
Why is destruction the answer to every question he is asked? Corfearon clutched Lorgar's shoulder tighter.
Because, my son, he is gravely flawed. He is an imperfect god.
The Primarch met his foster father's eyes in the chamber's gloom, the glance sharp and cold.
Do not say what you are about to say.
Lorgar,
Corfearon tried, but the Primarch's glare silenced him. His eyes were sharp with a plea, not with fury.
Do not say it, whispered Lorgar. Do not say we tore our homeworld apart all those years ago in the name of false worship. I cannot live with that. It is one thing for the Emperor to spit on all we have achieved as a legion, but this is different. Can you piss upon the covenant and the peaceful Colchis we created after 6 years of civil war? Will you name my father a false god?
Speak the truth,
Erebus cut in, even if your voice shakes. Lorgar lowered his ash-streaked face into his filthy hands. In that moment, Erebus and Corfearon locked eyes. The latter nodded to the former, and the first captain spoke again.
You know it is true, Lorgar. I would never lie to you. This is something we must all face. We must atone for this sin.
The chaplain stand with you, sire,
Erebus added his voice to Corfearon's.
The heart of every warrior priest in the Legion beats in rhythm with yours. We stand ready to act upon your word.
Lorgar shrugged off their platitudes, as well as his foster father's reassuring hand. The movement split the healing scabs on his shoulder blades, birthing trickle rivers of dark blood weeping down his golden back.
You are calling my entire life a lie.
I am saying we were wrong, my son. That's all.
Corfearon dipped his gnarled hand into the bowl of ash by Lorgar's side. Monarchia's dust spilled through his curled fingers, stinking of charred rock and failure.
We prayed to the wrong god for the right reasons, and Monarchia paid the price for our mistake. But it is never too late to atone. We purged our home world of the old faith, and now you fear as we all fear. Colchis prospered under the old ways and its legends, until we ravaged it in the name of a lie.
This is heresy,
Lorgar trembled, barely containing his emotion.
It is atonement, my son. Corfearon shook his head. We've been wrong for so long. We must purge the root of our errors. The source lies on Colchis.
Enough!
The ash on Lorgar's cheeks was split by trailing tears.
Both of you, leave me.
Erebus rose to obey, but Corfearon rested his hand on the Primarch's shoulder once more.
I am disappointed in you, boy, to be so proud that you cannot face up to failure and make amends.
Lorgar clenched his perfect teeth, saliva glistening on his lips.
You want to return to Colchis, the cradle of our legion, and apologize for 2 million deaths, 6 years of war, and devoting an entire world to worshipping an unworthy god for almost a century?
Yes, Corfearon said. Because it is the mark of greatness to deal with one's mistakes. We will reforge Colchis, as well as every world we have conquered since we first left our home world to join the Great Crusade.
And every world we take in the future, said Erebus, must follow a new faith rather than worship the Emperor. There is no new faith. You both preach madness. Do you think my legion kneeling in the dust shames me? Monarchia was nothing compared to the rape of my own home world over a lie. The truth cares nothing for what we wish, sire, said Erebus. The truth simply is.
You studied the old faith, Corfearon said. You believed it yourself as a young seeker, before your visions of the Emperor's arrival. You know the way to uncover whether it was a false faith or a pure one.
Lorgar wiped drying silver tears from his face.
You want us to chase a myth across the stars?
His eyes flicked between them both, bright and focused.
Let us speak plainly now, more than ever before. You want us to embark on a fool's odyssey through the galaxy in search of the very gods we've spent decades denying?
Lorgar laughed, the sound rich with disgust.
I am right, aren't I? You want us to undertake the pilgrimage.
We are nothing without faith, sire, said Erebus. humanity,
Corfearan pressed his palms together in prayer, must have faith. Nothing unites mankind the way religion inspires unity. No conflict rages as fiercely as a holy war. No warrior kills with the conviction of a crusader. Nothing in life breeds bonds and ambitions greater than the ties and dreams forged by faith. Religion brings hope, unification, law, and purpose. The foundations of civilization itself. Faith is nothing less than the pillar of a sentient species, raising it above the beast, the automaton, and the alien.
Erebus drew his gladius in a smooth motion, reversing the grip and offering the sword to Lorgar.
Sire, if you have truly abandoned your beliefs, then take this blade and end my life now. If you believe there is no truth in the old ways, if you believe mankind will prosper without faith, then carve the two hearts from my chest. I have no wish to live if every principle guiding our legion lies broken at your feet.
Lorgar took the blade in a trembling hand. Turning it this way and that, he stared at his candlelit reflection, a visage of gold in the silver steel.
Erebus, he said, my wisest, noblest son. My faith is wounded, but my beliefs remain. Rise from your knees. All is well.
The chaplain obeyed, stoic as ever, resuming his position across from Lorgar.
Mankind needs faith, said the Primarch. But faith must be true, or it will lead to devastation, as our brothers in the 13th Legion have so viciously proved. And as we learned ourselves in 6 years of unconscionable war before the Emperor came to Colchis. It is time we learned from our mistakes. It is time I learned from my mistakes.
There is one other to whom you can turn,
Corfearan pressed on, supporting his Primarch's rising resolution.
A brother with whom you debated the nature of the universe. You have often spoken of those nights, discussing philosophy and faith in the Emperor's own palace. You know of whom I speak.
Erebus nodded at the first captain's words.
He may hold the key to proof, sire. If the old faith has a core of fact at its heart, he may know where to begin the journey.
Magnus,
Lorgar said the name in contemplative softness. It made sense. His brother, whose psychic strength and fierce intelligence put all other minds to shame. They'd spoken often in the Hall of Leng, that cold, regal chamber on distant Terra, arguing with smiles and scrolls over the nature of the universe.
It will be done. I will meet with Magnus.
Corfearon smiled at last. Erebus bowed his head as Lorgar continued,
And if our suspicions prove correct, we will undertake the pilgrimage. We must know if our Colchisian forefathers spoke the truth when they founded their faith. But we must also move with caution. The Emperor's hounds prowl around our pack. And as wise as my father is, he has shown his blindness to the underlying truths of the universe.
Corfearan now bowed as well, mirroring Erebus.
Lorgar, my son, this will be our atonement. We can enlighten humanity with this truth and wash away the stains of the past. In truth, I have feared this moment for some time.
Lorgar licked his cracked lips. They tasted of ash.
If that is so, why have you waited to share your worries? Hindsight is a powerful vindicator, my friend, but none of us saw this coming. Not you. Not I.
Corfearon's eyes fairly gleamed. The elder leaned forward as if the scent of some triumphant hunt filled his senses.
I have something I must confess, great lord, he said. A truth that must grace your ears now. For the time has come.
Lorgar turned to his foster father with threatening slowness.
I do not like your tone, he said.
Sire, my Primarch, I tell no lie. When I say I have feared this day would come, I took the smallest, most humble measures against its arrival, and...
The words died in his throat, trapped there by his master's hand. Lorgar squeezed the older man's thin, tiny neck, cutting off speech and air with the barest use of strength. Erebus tensed, his eyes moving between the two figures. Lorgar pulled Corfearan closer, breathing deeply as if to mock the elder's strangled gasps.
No more revelations, Corfearan,
Have we not confessed to enough of our own flaws this night? He loosened his grip enough for Corfearon to rasp out the words.
Davin, 17 years ago,
the elder whispered.
Corossa, 29 years ago. Ovanda, 8 years ago.
Compliant worlds, Lorgar hissed into his foster father's face. Worlds where you yourself remained behind to begin their education in the Imperial Truth.
Compliant with the Imperial Truth. But embers of cultures were allowed to remain. What? Embers?
Lorgar growled.
Beliefs that matched the old faith of home. I could not let potential truths die.
Can I not control my own warriors? Lorgar took a shuddering breath, and something clicked quietly inside Corfearon's neck. Am I my brother, Kurz, struggling to control a legion of liars and deceivers?
Lord, I...
Corfearon's eyes were rolling back into his skull. His tongue was dark now, slapping against his thin lips.
Sire, Erebus began. Sire, you'll kill him.
Lorgar stared at Erebus for several moments, and the chaplain wasn't sure his liege lord even recognized him.
Yes,
Lorgar said at last.
Yes, I could.
He opened his fingers, letting Corfearon collapse to the chamber floor in a heap of robed limbs.
But I will not. My lord.
The elder heaved in air through blue lips.
Much to be learned from those cultures. They are all echoes of ancestral human faith. Like you, I am no butcher. I wished to save the lore of the species.
It is a time of many revelations, the Primarch sighed, and I am not blind to why you did this, Corfearon. Would that I had showed the same forethought and mercy. It was Erebus who replied,
You have asked the question yourself, sire. What if there is truth in the cultures we destroy? Corfearon saved a handful, but the Great Crusade has annihilated thousands. What if we are repeating the sin of cultures over and over and over again?
And why?
Corfearon managed a faint smile as he touched his discolored throat.
Do so many cultures share the same beliefs as our own home world? Surely that suggests an underlying truth.
The 17th Primarch nodded, the motion slow and sincere. Already, even before this latest confession, his mind was turning to the future, tuning in to the endless possibilities. This was his genetic gift in action, a thinker, a dreamer, where his brothers were warriors and slayers.
We have worshipped at the wrong altar for over 100 years,
said Corfearon, his voice returning. Lorgar sifted through the bowl of ash, clutching another handful and smearing it across his face.
Yes,
he said, with strength returning to his voice. We have.
Erebus? At your command, sire.
Take my words to the chaplains. Tell them all of what transpires in the days I remain sequestered here. They deserve to know their Primarch's heart. And when you return for further counsel tomorrow, please bring me parchment and a pen. I have much to write. It will take days, weeks. But it must be written, and I will not leave my isolation until it is done. You, both of you, will help me compose this great work.
What work, sire?
Lorgar smiled, and never had he looked so much like his father.
The new word.